brother who brought some brothers along with him. Mike Zello is the director of the Teen Challenge of Fredericksburg. It is there that they have a 9-acre farm and support up to 14 men to a life of recovery and freedom. Last time he was here, I just want to tell a quick little story. Last year he was here about, he was telling me 19 months, I can't believe 19 months come by since he was here last. But he had a picture, and it was a picture of a deer that he had just bagged. And my daughter, who I guess would have been about 5 at the time, was sitting there. And I'm like covering her eyes because, you know, it was a dead deer. And what I had forgotten was, and for those of you who know Kate, you can appreciate this, she went home and told Mom, she said, yeah, there was a picture of a deer. It looked like this. So Mike says that she was crying. I don't remember that. But
she said to me, you killed it?
Mike's going to come here and talk to us. Remember, if you would, remember last time, there were some legal issues that they were struggling with. And he's going to come, and you're going to talk about that as well,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. Talk about that. A little bit of everything. How about that?
So please stand and warmly welcome Pastor Mike Zello.
Praise the Lord. You know how the early service is. The early service has a reputation, you know, being kind of like laid back and not like the later service. Y'all are special today because you got up an hour early to be at the hour early service. So that's how you know someone's super committed, when they make the effort to be early, at the early service, when the clocks get shot forward, which happens to be the worst day of the year for my wife, man. She just can't stand that. She can't stand the thought of losing another hour. Praise the Lord. And where to begin in this journey that the Lord set me on? You're not going to be here in the second service, and I'm really going to spend a lot more time talking about this, but I have to at least let you know that what the Lord is doing in my life now and what he has done in my life the last 9 years actually began here. It actually began 2 weeks before I preached at this church 9 years ago. And I have been preaching in this church since I was maybe like 24 years old. So a good 2 years I've been preaching in this church now. Actually, our son is getting married this summer. Greetings from my wife, who is unable to be here with me today, who's back in college and has a huge term paper due. So she's cramming for that. Our son's going to be 25 this year, so we're getting old, and amen, we're getting old, and our middle daughter also is graduating from college this year. I have a son, he's graduating from grad school, and then our middle daughter's graduating from college also this spring, and then my baby is at Liberty, so we are empty nesters for the first time, no kids at home, so it's been an interesting season for us as a family. Which kind of takes me back to my thought, which my family and I stood before this church 9 years ago. At the time, my son was a senior in high school, and my daughter, our middle daughter, was going to start high school, and then our youngest was starting middle school. It was a very critical time for our family. We had been in one ministry for 19 years, Teen Challenge in Maryland, a center that my dad started, a center that was just ingrained in me. We're Italian, so it was kind of like the family pizzeria ministry, you know. It was all in the family, man. My mom worked there, my dad worked there, my sisters worked there, I worked there, my wife worked there. My grandmother, bless her heart, spent the last 14 years of her life cooking breakfast, lunch, and dinner for all the guys at Teen Challenge. It's just a place where I grew up and a place that I've always loved. And if you're not familiar with what Teen Challenge is, I think the best way to describe it would be the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. It's the inn. I mean, it's church. It's this place 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for men that struggle with addiction. And the ministry has grown. You know, it started just for kids. now it's grown to families can go to Teen Challenge now. It's just amazing. And the Lord had set us on this 19-year journey, and we were not going anywhere. I was going to live the rest of my life in Calvert County, Maryland, and work at Maryland Teen Challenge. It's just the way it was. And we had gotten a phone call, and the Lord was just stirring our hearts. We just got unsettled. We were just unsettled in our spirit, feeling as if the Lord wanted us to do more. And we would get calls all the time from Virginia, from people wanting help. And because of the legal system in Virginia, most of the guys that we wanted to help were not allowed to leave the state. And so we found ourselves in a position where we had this big state of Virginia over here with no Teen Challenge presence. And the Lord started just talking to us about maybe resigning and starting a Teen Challenge in Virginia. And it was 9 years ago and 2 weeks before that we got a phone call at our house. And it was just a message on our answering machine. And it was a message in a heavenly language. And then it was interpreted, and the interpretation was Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to give you hope, plans to bless and prosper you, to give you hope in the future. And there was a word from the Lord that was asking our family to go like Abraham and not look back. And the specific word was to cross the water and don't look back. I'm just calling you to a new place and a new thing. And we interpreted that as being the Potomac River. You know, that the Lord was just asking us to literally just to resign. And as a family, it was the night before that we came and I ministered at this church that I sat down with our, at the time we had our own Teen Challenge, amen, and sat down with our three teenagers and a senior in high school and the other two critical ages and told them that Mom and I have every intention on resigning. And we're going to sell our house, and we're going to move to Fredericksburg, Virginia. Hallelujah. Confederate flags and all. And I remember at the time, my youngest daughter, who was very, very smart, always was very, very bright and gifted, said, "Dad, you're quitting your job?" I mean, she just did not get what was happening. And I remember our biggest fear specifically was for my son, who was a senior at the time. And you know, to leave everything you ever know. That's a big deal when you're a senior to move, especially when you're not used to moving. And, you know, we had never moved before. And I ministered in the church that next Sunday morning. And quick little sidebar. After I got done ministering, our family, there was an altar time here, and our family was here, right here. We were on this side. And we were praying as a family, and people began to minister to us one after another. And just a quick little cute little story. My daughter, youngest daughter, was pulled to the side, and someone had spoken into her life that the Lord was calling her to be a nurturer and that her ministry was going to be nurturing. And when we left the church, we went to get lunch, and my other kids, and we were all excited about what God was doing, and it was kind of neat because we all had gotten a word from the Lord here. And my youngest daughter was really puzzled, and I remember saying, "Beck, what was spoken into your life?" And she said, "I don't get what was spoken to me. I'm confused." And we were like, "Well, what was spoken?" And she said, "I do not feel like that I'm called to make cats and dogs so they can't have babies anymore." And she had thought that the word of the Lord for her was that she was going to be a neuterer. She just didn't get it at all. And we were like, "No, Beck, nurturing is different than neutering." Anyways, at the end of our time together at the altar, a group of people gathered around my family and were laying hands on us and praying. And there was one specific word from the Lord, and it was some a young lady in this church who's still here. And actually, she just pinned us down as a family and said, "I have a word for your family." And she said the word is from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, plans to give you hope in the future." And I remember I was standing next to my son, and he broke down. I mean, he was sobbing uncontrollably because it was as if God had just literally spoken to our family that everything is going to be okay. And that for you, senior in high school, I see where you are, and I love you, and I have my hand on your family, and everything is going to be okay with you. And from then, we really began just an incredible journey. In fact, when we resigned, there were two churches that were supporting us monthly, and this church was one of them. We had a grand total guaranteed income of $200 a month when we resigned. And we just knew that the Lord was calling us to just to go deeper and didn't know how he was going to do it, where, when, who, what, when, where, how, why. But we just knew that he was calling us to do this. And so we moved to Fredericksburg, hallelujah. Someone found out about it right away, and they put us in the paper. And I remember they tried in the paper to make almost like make light that I was almost crazy because we didn't have any money. We didn't have a building, but we were able to buy a home because we sold our home in Maryland. So we kind of started out of our house. And there's a newspaper article about some crazy guy starting to help drug addicts out of his home. And our neighbors, they really thought we were crazy. The Lord helped us, you know, along the way. We got one mobile home, and we started taking in guys right away. And one of the things that you need to pray for our ministry in is that we've been in this so long, and we've always had a heart to not have money be a part of what we do. In other words, how much does it cost? Well, you need this amount to come into Teen Challenge. For us, we always want to be able to say at the end of the day, if you don't have anything, just come. Just come. And that's because of the body of Christ. Amen? The body of Christ. And if you read the parable of the Good Samaritan, you see that it was the Samaritan who paid. He paid. And whatever it costs for this guy to get right, I'm going to take care of it. And it's an awesome testimony to the men that we serve that the body of Christ loves them, that there are people in California, Maryland, salute, hallelujah, that love you, man. And they're like, what? I don't get it. It's just the power of God to save a life. We ended up getting another mobile home. And 3 years ago, God just started dealing with me about doing more and really finding a permanent home for Teen Challenge. And when I tell you we had no money, I mean, you know how when you're scraping the barrel? Well, we sold the barrel. I mean, that's the season that we're in. And I had been asked to speak at a church in Fairfax, and I thought that when I got there that I was going to be the guest main speaker, kind of like today. When I got there, I found out there were four missionaries speaking. And the pastor said to me, I really don't even want you to talk about Teen Challenge. Everybody's got 8 minutes. I really just want you to be the last guy and you preach. You got 8 minutes to preach. And I remember thinking at the time, man, this is unbelievable. I can't even talk about, you know, my vision. And, you know, I had a little small, tiny attitude, just a little tiny attitude. And at the end of that, the little 8 minute thing, I did a little presentation of Teen Challenge. A man came up to me and he said, while you were speaking, the Lord was talking to me. And I said, okay, that's cool. Because, you know, when you're a preacher, you hear stuff like that all the time. People get fired up after you preach and they want to help you and they want to do things for you and then you never hear from them again. But this guy said to me, I'm going to be praying. And if what I thought I heard this morning, I heard, then you're going to hear from me. And I said, okay, well, whatever. And then just went on. And that was in the month of October. 2 months later, on Christmas Eve, I got a call at my house. And it was that man and his pastor and on a three-way call. And the man said to me, Brother Zello, I've been praying for 2 months. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And I have $1 million. And I want you and your wife to go shopping and buy a Teen Challenge Center. Praise God. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. And you know, you just got to keep on grinding, y'all. You got to keep on pushing because there's so many times when the Lord wants to come through for us when we quit on it. And the only one who can ever rob you of your blessing is you. It's you. And I want to put this in your spirit this morning. If you have your Bibles, let's. And I wasn't even planning on doing this, but now I got to. Let's go to the book of Galatians, because you got to get this in your spirit. If you don't get anything else I say today, please, please, please get this in your spirit. Galatians chapter 6. One of my favorite places in the whole Bible. I'm getting old, and last Sunday was the first Sunday I had to use glasses to see my Bible. But for some reason, I can see it today, so I'm not going to be able to use them. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. I'm reading from the NIV. I know this is a very famous King James scripture. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please the sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And this is it. Just please put this in your spirit this morning. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The only one who can rob you from that blessing is you. It's right here. It's you giving up. And giving up is, man, I'll tell you what, my wife and I got in a car and we drove around for 6 months every day. And this is when the market was white hot. Everything was amazing. Everything was expensive. It was ridiculous. And we couldn't find anything for Teen Challenge. We looked in King George. We looked in surrounding counties all around Fredericksburg, Northern Virginia. Couldn't find a thing. And we decided to have a prayer meeting at my house with everyone that was in our little Teen Challenge family at the time. And we called them all to the house, and we ended up praying. And after that prayer meeting was over, I remember going back to the computer and pressing it one more time, and this farm came up. And it was perfect, and it was right in our price range. It turned out it had been on the market for 2 years, but it didn't sell, and they had subdivided 9 acres with all the buildings, and it was right in our price range. Remember, my wife and I went up, and we sat with this woman, 82 years old. Her husband was a World War II vet. Built the farm, built all these beautiful buildings, built the main house. And I remember saying, well, we're going to tell her what we're going to do with it because I want her blessing, you know. And I remember sitting in her living room just right there in our little where Teen Challenge has its little dining place right now, sitting at that table with our real estate agent. And I told her who I was and that I wanted to use this farm for God's kingdom and his glory. And I wanted to help drug addicts on this farm and have a Teen Challenge center. And she started to cry. And I thought she was going to throw us out. And she said, I just know my husband's up in heaven, smiling down on this meeting. She said, I'm not selling this farm to anybody but Teen Challenge. We ended up going, and, you know, it's one thing to say you're going to do it. It's another thing to walk into settlement, man, have a guy stroke a check. And God gave us that farm. And that was 3 years ago. And we were so excited when we got the farm. I mean, it was amazing. We were going to fill it right away, and God was going to just do all this cool stuff. And I got a call. I had preached on a Sunday morning, and we had done an outreach, a Teen Challenge outreach, on a Saturday afternoon with our same booth we got out here, same display. And there was a man. It was a public thing, and it was in a parking lot of a Lowe's. It was just a huge community outreach, big concert. And there was a man who came to our booth and didn't say anything. He just got the literature and said, oh, you bought Claire Garner's farm. And then he asked my wife a few questions, and he said, you're going to put drug addicts there? And then he just walked away. And I remember she called me on my cell phone. She said, I think we might have a problem. The next day, the very next day, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, my phone rang at my house. And it was someone from the county planning commissioner from Stafford County, Virginia. And she said to me, Reverend Zello, I understand that you have Claire Garner's farm. I said, yes, I do. She said, I understand that you're going to have a Teen Challenge Center there and you're going to help drug addicts there. And I said, yes, ma'am. And I was so excited thinking it was just an awesome thing and God was making this connection. And she said, do you have a lawyer? And I said, yeah, we have a lawyer. And she said, good, you're going to need one. And then hung up on me. And I remember thinking, well, that can't be good. The very next morning, there were 3 inspectors from the county at Teen Challenge. Someone from the community had complained and said that I was opening a ministry for registered sex offenders, especially child molesters. And from there began this incredible journey, y'all. And people came against us in every way. One woman went and spent a whole weekend in the rain going door to door. All around, within 10-mile radius, telling people that our ministry was just for convicted sex offenders, and that if you don't want your children, you know, hurt, you sign this petition. And it was that kind of evil that we just came up against. And I was here and had preached either right before or right after one of our hearings. And in our very first hearing, I went in so confident. I said, the Lord has given us this land. We're not backing down. And we lost 7-0. Shut down. Can't help anybody. Then I thought, okay, well, that's just temporary setback. The Lord's going to give us the ultimate victory on the county level. Walked into the county. Lost 5-2. So now we have the farm. Well, I've got the farm almost 2 years now. And I have nothing. We have nothing. I have a huge legal battle on this hand. And a real live enemy just basically laughing in my face. You got this beautiful farm and you can't do a thing with it. You can't do what God's called you to do. And the last time I preached here, I believe we were in federal court. And I want to just share a quick testimony about how God helped me. Because, you know, the Lord helps us in our weakness. You know, I'm not a bright man. And I don't have what it takes to sit with lawyers. I just don't have what it takes. These guys talk lingo. They might as well be speaking in tongues. I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't even understand that word. And I remember a friend of mine called me and he said, I saw what happened in the paper. And he said, I want to make a few calls. And he said, God, this is all God's will, Mike. God wants to give you exposure that you would have never gotten. So you need to bless his name every time you're on the front page of the paper and someone's calling you something. Listen, the front page of the Freelance Star said, teen challenge. This is a direct quote from a neighbor who owned a farm a few miles away. He said, this area is for horse farms and cattle farms, not funny farms. That was on the front page of the paper. Teen challenge, funny farm. Just mocking. And listen, in our hearings, I was called a false prophet. We have it all on tape. The guys have seen some of these tapes. A man stood up and I quote, said, this is the first thing he said when he took the microphone. I prayed to the Lord last night and the Lord told me to tell you, move to another county. And then he started laughing. He was mocking God, just mocking God. Just because I had shared at our first hearing that the Lord had spoke to our hearts and told us to move to Virginia. And the Lord told me to, you know, get this farm. And this guy got up and just took my words and spun it and literally was laughing in my face. And, you know, when you're ill-equipped and you have no clue what you're doing, the Lord helps you when your heart's right. And anyways, a long story short, I ended up in the office with a man named John Foote who had just won a Supreme Court battle for group homes. And I'm sitting, and I don't even know how I get in this room. I don't even know how I'm here. No one's saved. I'm the only one saved in the whole room. The language, holy guacamole, you got to be kidding me. I thought sailors cussed. Lawyers really cuss, especially when things aren't going well. And, man, I never heard so much cussing in my life, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, Lord, I'm in a room with a bunch of reprobates. Lord, help me, please. What am I doing here? And at the very end of the whole thing, these guys asked me to share my story, and I did. And this little guy, man, he's like this big. When I'm calling them little, they're little. He said to me, Reverend Zella, we're going to help you. We're going to help you. And we charge $750 an hour for our services, but we're not going to charge you anything. And if this case goes all the way to the Supreme Court, we'll take it all the way to Supreme Court and we won't charge you anything. And I'm the only Christian in the room. You know, sometimes you know the Lord is, you just have to know that he's with you. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about Psalm 23. The Lord is with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because why? Because he's with us. There is no greater feeling in all the world than to know that the Lord is with you. He's with us. And so last time I came, I had just argued depositions in federal court. And I'll make a long, long, long story short. Three days before our federal court deal, the whole shebang, I got a phone call from the county attorney. And he said, Reverend Zello, we'll give you what you want. We'll give you everything that you ask for. We'll give you everything. Just go away. Just go away. Just go away. Because let me tell you, one of the hardest things I ever had to do, sue the county. I remember sitting with these attorneys saying, I didn't come here to sue anybody. I came here to be a blessing to this county. And I have these attorneys saying, the only way that there's going to be a teen challenge on that farm is you have to sue the county for a ton of money. Ton of money. And pray that no one finds out about it so that you're not on the front page of the papers. Reverend Zello sues the citizens of Stafford. You know, that was my biggest fear. And I remember just hanging up the phone laughing to myself because the attorney just said, just drop the lawsuit and we'll give you everything you want. And ultimately, it was on the front page of the paper. And specifically, they said that they were afraid that had we gone through with the trial that they would have lost and would have had to not only let Teen Challenge be on the farm, but had to pay Teen Challenge. At the end of the day, there was victory. There was victory. And 3 years of my life has been spent fighting for this farm. 3 years of my life. And all along the way, we've been helping people, calling them farmhands. Amen. Come on. Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. But on 2 days before Christmas, this past Christmas, we had a little gathering at my house. And my wife and I were there, and we got very emotional because we realized that every single person in our house was a direct result of us moving to Fredericksburg. They were all Teen Challenge graduates, and a lot of them had children, small children. At one point, I think we had 11 little tiny kids under 7. And I remember saying to her, look at these kids. Every single one of these kids either had a dad that was a drug addict or mom was a drug addict, directly impacted by us moving here. And now this journey that really began here for me, it's come full circle. It really has. I mean, we're in the process of getting our final use and occupancy permit. In fact, we should get it this week. Our final. And praise God. Praise God, huh? We're just starting to bring in guys. This is Joel right here. Joel's not going to talk this morning, but these other two guys are. So come on up here, David and Ashley. Joel actually came into our program 2 days ago. And so, yes, this is why we fight. Many times I ask my, this is why we fight. This is why we fight. So that men can be saved and delivered forever and ever and ever. This is why we fought right here. This is why we fought. This is why the Lord called us to Virginia. And it's been an amazing journey, y'all. And this church has been a part of it. You've stuck with us all the way through. And this church has been more of a blessing than any member could ever know, especially your pastoral staff, just calling Cindy and I and encouraging us and saying we're with you and do you need anything. And there's like 15 more stories that could be added to this that just are directly connected to this body. But I'm going to let these guys just share what the Lord's doing in their life now and what God's calling them to. And come on, brothers.
Thank you, Pastor Mike. That's a great story, isn't it? Great, great acts of faith that God does in our lives. Pastor Mike tells it so well. It's enjoyable to hear it. I remember telling him one time before, I said, you know, every time you tell this story, it's just going to continue to strengthen your faith and bring you back to what God's brought you through and to reassure you and to reaffirm. And I'm speaking to myself as I say that too in my personal life. The encouragement from the Spirit and the encouragement that comes from God's people is so important. And sometimes you can lose focus of that. The devil likes to take our eyes off of what we do have and put it on what we don't have and cause us to look elsewhere instead of looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. My name is David. I'm 31 years old. I'm from Virginia, the Woodbridge area. And I'm proud and at the same time humbled to say that God has delivered me from a 14-year drug and alcohol addiction. And praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. He is so worthy. This month, it's 2.5 years since I've been clean and sober and only by the grace of God can I say that. It's a miracle, flat out miracle. I started using drugs as a teenager, and to make a horrible story short, by the time I was 28, I was addicted to crack cocaine, marijuana, all kinds of drugs, alcohol, stripped of life, broken, confused about everything. And I'm reminded of those things today, of just how lost and just how much in despair I was, wanting to give up. Believed in God, knew there was a God, but I just couldn't. I couldn't find Him. I couldn't see Him. And what a fog that was blinding me at that time. But the only thing that I can remember was just crying out to God in an apartment that I had, and I had nothing left really, emotionally and spiritually. And I'm reminded of Psalms 40. You know, when we cry out to Him, He does hear our cry. And I didn't know it until a few days later, but God saw fit to use a DWI that I had gotten, and used a gentleman in the work of helping people who had DWIs, and told me about Teen Challenge. And I made it to Teen Challenge the first weekend I was at the altar there. And I think I cried for about an hour, you know, just a flushing from the inside, taking this old stuff out and renewing me and strengthening me and telling me I'm going to live and have hope. And I'll never forget that. Praise God. And made great success in Teen Challenge and learned a lot. Teen Challenge has given me so much, more than I can ever imagine. And it keeps blessing me and keeps reassuring me that I am a child of God and that I'm here for a reason to serve Him. Pastor Mike and his wife in Teen Challenge of Fredericksburg has graciously given me an opportunity to serve now and to be a part of that amazing story that we just heard. What an amazing story just to think and meditate upon just how powerful God can be in those circumstances of our lives. And so I'm honored to be here today. I thank you for letting us speak and share a testimony. God is so good and thankful for His grace and mercy. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Ashley. I am originally from South Carolina. I am 33 years old, and 10 years ago, at the age of 23, I entered Teen Challenge program in North Carolina, fully addicted to alcohol, cocaine, to start with. It was the Teen Challenge program that God used to reach me. That's why Teen Challenge holds a very dear place in my heart. That's why I'm extremely thankful and grateful, along with Dave here, to be given the opportunity to serve here in Fredericksburg Teen Challenge, to be a full-time live-in staff member. I don't look at it by any means as work. I look at it as something that I believe and know that God has called me to do, and thoroughly enjoy it, have fun at it, smile every day of my life because of it. It's just an awesome thing to know that God would bring me from the depths I was at not so long ago. It's been an amazing ride. The way that I've got here via Teen Challenge in Buffalo, along with Dave, is won't get into the whole how it happened, but God just kept opening doors, opened a door for him who was before me, and eventually opened a door for me. And I'm just thankful and grateful. Again, Teen Challenge is the vessel that God, I know personally that Teen Challenge is God's hand is in it. He saved my life through it. He used Teen Challenge to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to me. Teen Challenge is where I began a relationship with Jesus Christ. Teen Challenge is where God saved my life. And again, I'm forever grateful for it, and just I look forward to the future, and really, really appreciate churches such as yourself. We thank you for all the prayers, and could not be here without you. So we thanks again for having us.
Yeah, y'all. Just in closing, if you do have your Bibles, I have to read this just so that it can be read. And I am going to have to use my glasses now, boy. There we go. Woo, I can see. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Amen. Amen. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. Your word is light to our darkness. Pray for my brothers and sisters today. I speak over them in Jesus' name. The blessing, the prosperity of a living God who wants to bless and use each of them. And you're calling today, Lord. You're calling your church to go a little deeper, get a little stronger. For those in this room who you are calling to do things that are bigger than them, I pray that this word will encourage them. I thank you, Lord, that you always have for your children the best of interest. And I pray that this word from Jeremiah will just sink into our spirit, Lord. And also the word from Galatians chapter 6, that we will not grow weary of doing good, for in due time we will reap a harvest, if we do not give up. And I pray that for those in this room, Lord, that might be there, even in this moment, that you will just encourage and strengthen them. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Mike. That verse, Jeremiah 29:11 through 13, that Mike just read. Somebody has to be hearing that, because we keep going back to that verse. It says this in Psalm 147, starting verse 2, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. We have a very special man who's come and just shared with us. He is Jesus with flesh on. He does the work of the Lord that I just read, Psalm 147 and verse 3. This is a man that's an example of faithfulness and obedience. Not just obedience, radical obedience. And so I know that Mike and the folks that he brought with him feel honored to be here. But I feel honored to have sat and heard the testimony of God and what he's doing in Fredericksburg, Virginia. He read a little bit out of Galatians 6. And he started in verse 7. But I want to go back to verse 6. And it says this, "And let the one who taught the word share all good things with him who teaches." I'm sorry, let me read it again. "And let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches." We're able to learn something today from Mike and from Teen Challenge. Learn that, you know what? If God is with you, then no one can be against you. At least not for very long. And if you're faithful and obedient, yes, sometimes radically obedient to Him, then He's going to step out and He is going to prosper you mightily. And so I'm just exceedingly thankful for Mike, and I am exceedingly thankful for Teen Challenge, because the work they do truly rescues people. Rescues them from the abyss. And so I am grateful. Gentlemen, are you ready to come forward? We are doing a special offering today. Can you guess for who? This is a church that is generous and sends people away blessed. I'm going to ask that you do that again. I can think of few ministries that are as hands-on as truly rescuing people. So I'm going to ask that you would be generous as you always are. Gentlemen, please go forward. Do we have any music, Brandon, that you could... Okay. By the way, I should also mention, too, that in your bulletin there's a sheet of paper that speaks kind of a letter from Mike almost to us. So I ask you to take the time to go through that. Also, I didn't mention to keep, just an administrative note, to keep on soaping. As you leave, there will be a pamphlet waiting for you. The ushers will be there in line so that you can take these, since we didn't have communion, to pick them up at your normal time.
To your spirit, we say yes. We say yes to what you're calling us to this morning. But we are weak, Lord, and we need your help. So I just pray down on my brothers and sisters just a fresh anointing and just double portion of your spirit this morning. For you know the needs in this room better than we do. And we pray, Lord, that signs and wonders will follow now your word. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, well, I'll just be honest with you. I believe the Lord's calling us to prayer this morning. And so I'm going to ask, let's just turn this place into a prayer meeting. If you want to be dismissed, you can go. If not, I'm going to ask if you can, if you're able, that every person in this room just find a place on your knees now. You can come to the altar where you are. That's fine. Let's get down on our knees this morning. Not have drive-through church. Amen. Let's park the car. Come in and dine. Spend even if it's just a few moments in His presence. Lord knows we need it. How we need you, Lord. If you need specific prayer for something, you can come up here and I'll gladly lay hands on you and pray a prayer of faith over you. Father, we just pray. You see your children here, Lord. You know our needs. And we pray for every mountain in this room. We speak to every mountain, and we speak the name of Jesus Christ, and we pray that that mountain will be moved. We know, Lord, that there is nothing too hard for our God. that all things are possible to those that believe. And so for our faith today, we ask for an increase, power boost, Lord. Greater faith, more faith, that we will not leave this room the way that we came in, but that we will be changed. Take us to another level, Lord, another level. I pray for those in this room that have family members on drugs and alcohol. We just pray in Jesus' name over them that they will know what it is to be free. I pray for those in this room that are just maybe struggling in their marriage, just struggling, financially struggling, just struggling. Lord, let today be a day of breakthrough. And these prayers that are going up from your children right now, I pray that they will all be answered. Everyone, that testimonies will come from this time that we just humbled ourselves and just sought your face. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God that hears and answers. So I pray for my brothers and sisters that they will have a spirit of just stick to it. Just keep on going. Knowing that you're with us, Lord. That even in death, you're with us. And I pray that not one from this room will give up. Just keep on sowing, Lord. Keep on sowing. And for those that have been sowing for a long time, have paid the price. Pray for a season of harvest, Lord. A season of breakthrough, a season of miracles. For those that are bound in this room, Lord, and need to be set free, I pray in Jesus' name, prayer of deliverance over them. That you will come through this house, Lord, with just a big washcloth and clean us all up, Lord. That every bondage, every sin, every stain of sin will be removed and removed. We get up clean today. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, for victory. I thank you for the victory that happened with Teen Challenge, Lord. We just bless your name. You are a good God and you are a faithful God. And there's nothing too hard for you, Lord. Encourage us today, Lord, to keep on pressing, to keep on sowing. For in due time, harvest is coming. Harvest is coming. Father, I just thank you for this church and what it's meant to me. Pray you encourage your people today. Bless them for giving. Bless them for blessing us. I pray for the youngest child to the oldest adult, for everyone that calls this church home, that something will happen to them in this season, that you'll begin a revival, Lord, just a spark of revival. Pray for a revival in this church, Lord, that the wind of the Holy Ghost of God will blow through this house the way it did in the upper room, that we will be shaken, Lord, that we will not be the same. Empower us this morning, even now, empower us, Lord, that we will be a greater witness for you and your kingdom. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
You are dismissed. If you have a prayer need, you can come forward. I'd like to get after that. Mike, I'd like to get you and your men up here, and I'd like some folks to come forward that we might pray over them and be an additional blessing to them before they leave here today.